am Alla Policastro, CLE advisor for the Beverly Hills Bar Association, and I am delighted to introduce today's program, Briefly Focus. It's a part of the Briefly Focus series, and it's using ChatGPT to harness your improve your lawyering with ADHD. I'm delighted to introduce our speaker, Sonia Siegler. Sonia is the best-selling author of Welcome to the Next Level and What's Next for My Career. She is the founder and CEO of Practigal Coaching and Consulting, where she helps high-achieving women create fulfilling, balanced careers. With over 25 years of experience as an IP and corporate attorney, Sonia has worked with companies ranging from Sega and Intuit to pioneering AI startups like Cataphora. A passionate advocate for women in tech, she blends legal expertise, strategic thinking, and a genuine commitment to empowering others. We can't wait to hear her insights today. Over to you.
Thank you, Alla. I'm so glad to see you today. And thank you, Susie. I am going to share a little bit about what we can do to help our ADHD. So you can see my hobbies behind me. You can really get an idea that it's true. So I'm going to share my screen and we'll get started. So I am Sonia Sigler, and I'm so glad you guys are here. And if you're here, you're likely a lawyer who has ADHD or struggles with focus, organization, time management. Just know that you're not alone. Lawyers face high demands, and all the traditional productivity methods don't always work for us. So let's get to it. I'm the founder of Practigal Coaching and Consulting, and I work with lawyers and entrepreneurs, and I help them get to the next level for their business and for their life. And today's session, I want to say, is going to be interactive. And if you give me just a second, I gotta pause this for a second and stop my share so that I can actually see the Q&A, because I want to answer questions as we go along and I don't want to miss what we've got going on. Alla, if you can let me know that my slides are still visible.
The slides are gone right now, actually.
Slides are gone. Okay,
Yeah,
let me
hold on
share.
a second.
That'll work better then, huh? Too many windows open. There we go. That'll work better. Okay, hopefully that's working.
All good.
Yay. So, like I said, today's session is going to be interactive, actually starting with me. I have two questions, and then we'll learn a little bit more about how we can use ChatGPT to help us manage our ADHD. So, first, what's your biggest challenge as a lawyer with ADHD? And you can go ahead and put it in the Q&A box. I know what my biggest challenge is. It's staying focused and on the priority that I need to get done that day. And I use stickies. So I have stickies around my computer screen. That's my current method. So what's your biggest challenge with ADHD as a lawyer? And like I said, go ahead and put that in the Q&A. And then the second thing, what was the last thing you asked AI? What was the last thing you asked AI if you were using ChatGPT or Claude or Jasper or DALL-E or whatever? What was the last thing you asked AI? Let's see. Let's talk about the biggest challenges. Focus, time management, remembering to-dos, not getting distracted, not being distracted by the tasks that randomly popped up in my brain. That is why I keep a pad of stickies in every room so I can write those random thoughts down, because if I write them on my phone in the note app, I never go back and look at it. But the sticky is right there. So that's one way I deal with it. Let's see, returning client calls. Ooh, yeah. We'll talk about that in time blocking. Getting started, prioritizing tasks. Yes, getting started is one of the ones I have an issue with. Starting difficult or boring tasks. Oh my God, boring tasks. We are going to spend a whole section on that. I don't know if I'm ADHD, but I certainly get easily distracted and I'm always chasing the shiny new toy. Absolutely. That sounds like one of the symptoms I suffer from. Time management, COBRA issue, getting started on work, staying focused. Oh, boring and tedious tasks. We're going to spend a few minutes on that because that one's important to understand why. Let's see, switching, task switching. Yes. Drafting a complaint for AI usage. Okay. Capturing all the time on different projects. I will talk about that because that is why I do not work at a law firm. Getting all my priority tasks done in a timely manner. Yes. helping generate a takeaway for an article I wrote. Yeah, ChatGPT can be really helpful for generating takeaways. But you also want to look through, is that really the most high priority takeaway? Let's see. I hate returning client calls. Rewriting some discovery. Yeah, that could be a rabbit hole. Last thing I asked AI was clean up a memo I had drafted. Yes, one of the things I do is I use it to make things nicer, make things friendlier. I tend to be just the facts. I asked ChatGPT to provide a case on point for a research project I was working on. Brand new to ChatGPT. Yes. Okay, we've got all across the board. So using AI effectively and efficiently is such an important topic, and I'm glad you guys are all here. So let's get started. Why are we here today? So we're here because Belinda McCauley, the executive director of Beverly Hills Bar Association, asked for help in understanding ChatGPT and what it could do. And I gave her a demo of the tool, and it turns out a lot of what I use ChatGPT for is related to ADHD issues, like forgetting to eat because I'm so into what I'm doing that I forget. Or the opposite problem. It's somehow 3 hours later and I fell down a rabbit hole researching things, and now I'm researching Icelandic yaks and how I can incorporate their belly hair into my next knitting project. And I need to get back on track. That's a little bit of a digression. So we'll set the context of ADHD and why tools like ChatGPT can really help us manage our lives better, both personal and professional. Then I'm going to chat about the tool itself. So I'll give you a little overview of the tool. And I want to talk about the spectrum of impact, of the importance of who's seeing the information that you're generating using something like ChatGPT. Then I'll talk about query basics and the do's and don'ts and how to actually use the tool. And then I'm going to talk about, we're going to do a demo. So if you have something you want to ask for the demo or anything, you can put that in the Q&A window. I have three things that I'll set up for those for the demo, but if we have some things we can put in there, I'll take that too. And then we'll chat about cautions and what we should be aware of and what's not a good use for this tool. So we manage a complex juggling act if you have ADHD and you are lawyering. It's a perfectionist, high pressure industry. So ChatGPT can be the tool to reduce all that friction, save time, help you get things done. So I just want to say it's not a panacea and it's not a replacement for lawyers. This is really about practical wins. It's not about theory today. So I just want to set that context. I want to share a little bit about me. Like I said, my name is Sonia Sigler. I've been an IP and corporate lawyer for about 30 years. I'm just going to stop doing the math now. I worked at 800-pound gorilla companies like Sega and Intuit, and then startups for the last 20 years, including Catafora, which is one of the pioneering AI companies in the legal field. It's in the e-discovery, predictive coding, technology-assisted review space. So I have a lot of experience using highly powerful tools. Then in 2018, my husband, after we got married in 2017, he's like, "Why don't you just start your own coaching firm? You're doing all this on the side." So I had started doing it on the side in 2015, and he's like, "Why don't you just do it full time?" So that's what I started in 2018. And along the way, I published a couple books on career management. So everything I learned the hard way, I've shared in those books, and then including the last one on self-care, which I did a wellness one for Beverly Hills Bar Association a couple weeks ago. So if you haven't seen that, that one's really important as well. So why AI? Well, this subject is near and dear to my heart, and I've spent most of the last 20 years teaching lawyers, thousands of lawyers, about AI and the tools and what they can do, how to use them, how they can see statistics and linguistics as the foundation of what these tools are, and then to find the information when they need it. So litigation, investigations, all that side of things. So who can tell me why? Who can tell me why I went from Sega and Intuit to startups? I was at two amazing companies. So after 8 years, I left to go to a company with four people and an idea. So why did I leave the law behind or try to leave it behind? And I took a VP of business development position at a startup. Too much structure. Okay, what else? And then I changed again to teach and write and travel to speak around the world and to help high achievers who feel stuck or scattered like I was. More flexibility at a startup. Novelty. Ooh, Michelle got it right. That's right. ADHD. So what happened? That's right. I was super bored and I needed something new and novel. More stimulating and challenging. Yes. So as if juggling my newborn and a toddler and going to night classes for an MBA weren't enough at that time, I really needed challenging, stimulating work. And the 3 years I spent at Sega and the 5 years I spent at Intuit, everything had become routine for me. So that reward and motivation center, it doesn't work the same for us as it does everybody else. We need dopamine and we need a lot of it. And we need way more of it to activate our reward centers to be motivated enough to do the work. So that's why repetitive work is excruciating for me. And from the comments, I think it's excruciating for some of you as well. So as CFO, I was general counsel and CFO for some of the years at Catafora, and I felt like, didn't I just do that yesterday? Like having to send invoices out monthly. So that kind of repetitive work was not for me. So even at a startup, I had to do some of that repetitive work. I don't even want to talk about the pain of time tracking all of this stuff. So in 6 minute increments, I just can't do it. I can hardly remember what I had for breakfast, let alone track my time by the minute. So I mentioned earlier that I went in-house. I went in-house directly from law school, actually in my third year of law school. And I worked at a law firm my second year, and the time tracking there was enough to do me in. So I was like, I never want to work at a law firm. I never want to track my time. It's not that I don't want to work for a law firm. I just don't want to be tracking my time. Time blindness and that decision fatigue, and in our deadline-driven industry, I find myself laser focused on things when I have a looming deadline. Usually when I have an article due, or usually when something is due for a client, that's when I'm motivated to do the most work. So, who's amazing in a crisis? So crisis management—that's the other thing we're really amazing at. So the risk of all this and the novelty seeking is that it can become self-sabotaging if we don't have enough direction. So that unstructured stimulation seeking can lead to impulsive decision making. It can lead to constant job hopping or hobbies like I have behind me, or it can lead to other unhealthy habits that provide fast but fleeting dopamine boosts. So we really need to harness tools to help us do that in a way that keeps us engaged and keeps us motivated to do the work. So why use ChatGPT to help you function better as a lawyer with ADHD? Because we want to use tools like this so that we can do the work that is using our highest and best value. Like we don't want to do work that fits into somebody else's box or somebody else's list of expectations. We want to do the stuff that's our highest and best use. So let me back up just a second. What are lawyers good at? What is your highest and best use? Is it arguing, persuading somebody? Is it putting the pieces of the puzzle together to tell that cohesive story? Is it making a game plan, setting the tone and direction and strategy of a case or a negotiation? Or is it strategic thinking? Yes, I'm happy to connect with any of you on LinkedIn. Just let me know where you found me. We want to use tools like ChatGPT to free us up for the good stuff so that we can use our higher level thinking, use our judgment, be problem solvers. Absolutely. We want to use AI tools like ChatGPT, and I'm going to talk about some other tools as well as we go through this. We want to use these tools to do the boring, repetitive stuff or the low level hanging fruit so that we can concentrate on the fun stuff, the good stuff, the problem solving, hard, challenging, interesting work. So let's take a look at ChatGPT and where it fits in helping us function better with ADHD. So, what is ChatGPT? It's a tool, it's a software tool, it's a large language model. It is available 24/7. It never gets tired or impatient. It helps you externalize your thoughts. And ChatGPT, it was a tool set up for chat. So think customer service chat agent. Okay. So I know some people who use this tool and use it verbally. So they're always doing audio. I tend to do writing because I'm faster at it. But however you want to use it, it's a tool to help you get organized. It's to simplify things, to get started on things, and hopefully even finish projects. I really like to start things. I'm not necessarily a finisher on some things as well. But the good news is you can use ChatGPT with other tools. So like Evernote or Zoom or Otter.ai or Zapier, so many others. The good news is you can use it with all those kind of different tools. It's not integrated with like Gmail right now. So you can't just integrate it to say, hey, do a reminder for me or set my schedule and block off time. We have to do that manually still, but we can use the tool to help us do some of those things. So before we launch into query basics, I really want to talk about the importance and impact spectrum. So it's really crucial to understand the importance and impact of what you're using the tool for. So who's relying on it? Is it just you? Is it the public at large? Is it a client? Is it opposing counsel? Is it the judges? Is it being filed with the court? So the lower level things like menu or newspaper article or blog, or maybe higher level is an industry trade journal article, like the first AI class I did for Beverly Hills Bar Association a couple weeks ago, that's going to be an article tomorrow in the Daily Journal. So whether it's appearing in front of peers or industry colleagues, is it marketing materials that are going to go out to clients and attract people to you? Is it a client letter? Is it a communication with somebody? Is it a contract that's going to be signed? So the higher we move up the spectrum, the more important the impact is, the more we need to review our work and pay attention. So if it's a regulation that you're interpreting for executives, you know, you want to pay attention to that. If it's a court filing, absolutely, you're going to be spending time verifying what's in there. Cautionary note here, for anything that's on that crucial side of the spectrum, I would use a legal trained model. So ChatGPT is a generally trained model on whatever's on the internet and whatever you feed it. I would use a legal trained model like GC AI, and the URL for that is getgc.ai, G-E-T. So I would use a legal specific tool if I were gonna do anything in that red area. It doesn't mean you can't use the tool to help you, but you do want to check the work. So how can you use ChatGPT effectively? So let's chat about all those query basics. So I'm going to give you a little base information for ChatGPT. So generative AI tools generate information. They make it up. So they make it up based on the underlying model. So GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. Okay. It's family of tools. It's a large language model developed by OpenAI. Now these LLMs generate words, phrases, paragraphs, whole articles based upon language using frequency of words next to each other, phrases, and then what it's fed. So I have a little garbage can there. This is about garbage in, garbage out. So if it's trained on the whole internet, you're going to get a whole lot of things that may not be pertinent to what you're writing. Okay. So I'll just tell you about one tool. They assign a number to each word, and then they look at the frequencies and the pairs of those numbers, and then they structure it into sentences where every word is represented by a number. It's called vector space modeling. It's basically an algebraic way to model a document. Like if you said you need more information, or you have a letter that's kind of a smoking gun, or a memo, or a text now, or a Slack message, you can say, find me more like this document. And then the tool will map it and find you more documents just like that. So if you've used any of the e-discovery tools or any of the predictive coding tools, that's what's going on there. Very similar in the large language model that ChatGPT uses is that it's modeling all of the language to draft something for you. Okay. So we're going to concentrate on the query basics to help you get the most out of these tools. So what was the legal-based AI you just referenced? GetGC. So GC, like general counsel AI. So the URL is getgc.ai. So getgc.ai. And then let's see, what else can I tell you about this? The better we set the stage for our queries, it's just like, you know, using the key system in Westlaw or whatever to find it. It's elusive to find that one key where you know that case is out there that can help you, and you just don't know right, the word to use. Like as a 1L in law school, the case we were looking for was under the key lewd and lascivious, because that is what's on everybody's mind. But that was the key the case was under. So it's like that. So we have to give it clues. We have to set the context for what we're looking for and the audience. And I'm going to go through each of these. So the more detailed you can be in your queries, the better it understands the assignment. So think of ChatGPT as an eager intern or like a first-year associate versus a fifth-year associate. The first year, not that trained, right? You got to keep repeating things. You got to tell them exactly what you want. I want it in Times New Roman and 12-point font, and I want it, with no indentations, like all of those little itty bitty details, let alone the substance of what you're trying to get out of them. But think of ChatGPT like that, an eager intern or an eager associate. They want to learn, they want to do the right thing, they just don't know what it is yet. So I put a picture of coffee on here because it's like they go to order you coffee and they don't know what your special half calf, lots of foam, not plain black coffee drink is. So it just takes time and it takes iteration and it takes learning. So let's go deeper into what kind of prompts we need to be focusing on. Okay. Prompting is an art. Some might say it's a science, but it's really an art. So what we need to know about prompting is it's like searching for that key in Westlaw that I just mentioned. ChatGPT works the same way. So if you are getting notices to buy lists of prompts, like don't fall for that. It's because context matters here. And these tools are changing so quickly that any prompt list from yesterday is not going to be the prompt you're going to want to use today. So it's a living, breathing thing. So let's talk about these important considerations here. So remember the garbage in, garbage out. If you give it a vague prompt, you're going to get a vague answer, just like Google, just like Westlaw Lexis, like any of those tools. If you're vague, you're going to get a vague answer. If you give more specific, structured prompts, you're going to get targeted, helpful responses. So I'll give you a vague, bad prompt. Write a legal argument. I have no context for that, right? I don't know the context. But a better prompt might be, draft a 500-word persuasive argument for breach of contract case involving a missed payment, and then please cite relevant case law. I gave it a bunch of things, right? It also helps to say the role. So give it a role. So sorry about that. Tell ChatGPT who it is. So are you a legal assistant? So act as a legal assistant, act as a first-year associate, act as a smart, eager, trained associate, or a chief marketing officer, or a CEO, or a cranky senior partner. So you can pick the role that they're playing, and you could tell ChatGPT that's who is responding. Okay. So you can also give it a purpose. So if you're writing a persuasive argument that's going to be filed with the court, that's setting the context if it's a court filing. You could also set a purpose like I am writing a 500-page article that's going to go to the Daily Journal, and it's going to be for lawyers in Los Angeles and San Francisco. I set the purpose of that. I've set a little context for that. Any background details, you want to provide that as well. I'm going to talk about tone and voice and the output before I go back to sections. So, tone and voice. When I said I ask it for friendlier emails, I'll copy and paste an email I've drafted and I'll say, please make this friendlier. It's going to 9 board members, not other lawyers. So now it knows that I'm a lawyer and it's going to board members. So it can put that context together as well. Tone and style. So if it's formal or you want it to be concise, part of my brand is I want practical, actionable advice. So that's what I ask it to do. If you're in a context where you're making persuasive arguments, then you're going to ask it to be persuasive. So that tone and voice are really important. The other thing that's really important about tone and voice is you can train it and you can give it personas. So I've trained GPT to draft articles for my local magazine in my neighborhood. And I have 5 years of examples that I've shared with it. So it's got a really good idea of what my tone of voice is and the friendly and the highlighting good things that are going on in our neighborhood. So what you do to train it is just as important as the individual prompt that you give it, because it's going to draw on that information. So using a prompt that says, using what you know about me as a neighborhood writer is different than use what you know about me as a board member or lawyer. So it's going to put a different tone of voice on it. Output formats. Okay, this is really great. Like if you're evaluating a regulation or a new one's come out or made some changes, you can have these tools evaluate, summarize, and you can ask for the output to be, I want 3 bullet points. I want 500 words. I want a table with these three columns, and you just use a pipe between the columns that you want. There are so many ways to output this information. It's just whatever you can imagine. Okay. And sometimes it'll suggest ways to do it. Do you want a Word document output? Do you want a image? Do you want a worksheet to go with that? So lots of different ways to do this. Let me go back to sections. So sections or chunks. Like if you're getting bad information out of it or not useful information, you can chunk it down. So take a smaller ask. So instead of writing the whole 500 word article, ask it for an outline. Give me an outline of what I should cover. I'm going to talk about embracing AI to a bunch of lawyers. What should I talk about? So we have so many pieces to putting that context together here. So I'll just give you an example. So imagine you need an client email summarizing a legal memo on intellectual property. And instead of saying, what's an email about IP rights, try act as a legal assistant, draft a professional email to a client summarizing a legal memo on IP rights. The client's a small business owner concerned about trademark infringement. Please use clear, client-friendly language. So it got all those elements in there, right? Legal assistant, draft a professional email. Summarizing, so it gives a purpose, and on IP rights. A better one might be summarize trademark information. So yes, I can explain and expand on chunking. So if you're getting bad information out of it, I'll give you an example. Remember I said I forget to eat? So one of the things I use it for is to make a meal plan for the week. So I ask it to make a meal plan, and it gave me fluffy, big meal plans that I am never going to cook. So I said, chunk it down. Can you make a breakfast plan for me? So I narrowed the scope of it. So taking a chunk or a section of what I'm trying to do. So I just said, let's do breakfast. And then it gave me better information. And then I said, I want to be able to use ingredients across the meals, and I want to be able to use ingredients from day to day as well. So that's a different chunk or a different section. So you can break it down into smaller chunks to solve at a pace that the tool is working well at. So let's chat about why prompting is iterative. Okay, this is a process. This is an iterative process. You're going to experiment. You're going to see what results you get. You're going to test them out. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it terrible? There is no one size fits all. In fact, you could put the query in today and get one answer. You could put the same query in tomorrow and you might get a completely different answer, because the more people use these tools, the more they're learning, the more they're changing. Okay. So there is no one size fits all here. This is all one big, giant, colossal experiment. So I'm going to give you some examples of prompts to try in a minute. And I'm going to give you some examples just so we can see before we get into the tool. So I do want to just caution you that these tools are evolving, and so you just have to keep experimenting. So opposition. You can say something like, pretend you're the senior partner and I'm giving you a memo and we've gone three rounds in arguing about this, and then give me your output. So you're setting it up to have a conversation. Or pretend you're the CEO and the CFO having a conversation about our budget and why we're over budget, and then give me the text or whatever output you're looking for. So you can ask it to play a role, and you can give it some opposition as well. And you can ask it to go slow. So you can say, take your time. You can say, no hurry. So treat it as a person that you're giving instructions to. Like, I don't want you to hurry through this work. I want you to take your time and do three rounds of opposition before you give me your best work. So one of the things I always ask it is, are you doing your best work? Like Henry Kissinger or whoever that was that said it. As a first year when you get the like, is this your best work? And then you're like, oh, okay, let me go back and change it. Or let me do better. Ask the tool, is this your best work? I also ask, am I missing anything? What should I address that I haven't already covered? So you can ask it for information, or is this, I like to ask, is this your best work? And then, did you leave anything out? The other thing is, ChatGPT likes to summarize things. So asking it for the quote so you get the real information as opposed to distilled information. That's another important point with asking it for information, is to ask for quotes. Like, especially if you're summarizing the law, ask for a quote because it'll give you a summary that you're like, I don't think that's what it said. And I want to prevent that. Let's see. Heather says, I feel like spending the time to tell AI what to do and how to do it, proofing and then supplementing it is necessary and takes a lot of time. Isn't it just as easy, fast to write the email article itself? Or am I just a get off my long Luddite? Okay. Here's the value of these tools. Once you train it, it's going to be so much faster than you can actually write it. So it may take a little time. Like I mentioned that neighborhood article. Well, I've been doing that for 15 months in this tool. So what was a 2-hour process for me to write, and meanwhile my house was clean and I've done the laundry, because that's my procrastination technique. When I sit down to write something, it's like, oh, that's a hot seat. I better go do something else. So for me, the writing process is a it's a procrastination tool. So for me, spending the 15 months to train it on my 5 years of past articles and my tone of voice, now it takes 15 minutes. Okay. So just like any other software tool, like how much of Microsoft Word do we use? Like 1% of what the capabilities are. ChatGPT is like that as well. So take the time to train it now and you'll have dividends later. And the tools are changing so much that you're going to have to continue training it anyway. So let's keep going on this. Like I said, it's evolving. We just got to keep experimenting. So your use cases. So what I use it for is going to be different than what Ala uses it for, different than what Susie uses it for, different than what Belinda uses it for. So what are your pain points? So is it client intake process, or is it drafting an agreement from scratch? Is it dealing with the sales team? That was one of my favorites. Is it handling all the NDAs that keep coming in, or terms of service? So what do you use frequently that you could use help with to go more smoothly? So are there bottlenecks where you're always waiting on something, or someone's always waiting on you? I mean, is in-house counsel, the sales guys, they wanted it yesterday because they left it on their desk for a week and then they sent it to you, and now they need it tomorrow. Where are the bottlenecks in those processes and procedures, and where are the pain points for you? Like, what could actually happen to help you make things go smoothly in your practice? So I'll give you an example. I have developed over time a punch list of typos to look for in my documents. I'll give you two examples. The comes out TEH because I type faster with one hand than the other. And does not comes out as do snot. Not a typo, two words spelled correctly, but not a word combination I want to find in my document. So what are those that you have for you? Let's retool the process using some of these tools to make things go better. Is AI more effective to plan what to write, draft from scratch, or refine your existing articles or emails? Each of these three choices are very different uses of the tool. So what's it more effective at? You're going to have to see. Because what it's effective at for me, and I'll just give you, like, I've been using this tool for about 18 months, is I give it a transcript from, like, today. Like, I'm going to take this transcript and I'm going to say, write me a 1,000-word article. And I'm going to look at it and I'm going to be like, oh, it missed this, or oh, it didn't have this in it. And then I'm going to ask it to do some more work, or I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to write that portion into it. And then I'm going to rewrite stuff that, isn't exactly right. So it depends on how you've trained the tool and how well it knows you. So You can always ask it using what you know about me, draft a 50 word bio, and see, does it know you well enough to do that? So in that turn, if it doesn't know you and it's drafting from scratch, you're probably going to get a different level of quality than if it knows you or you've seeded it with, like, say, three other bios. If you're refining existing articles at your email, it's brilliant at that. And you can tell it what tone of voice to use. Practical, actionable, precise, professional, whatever the words are that you want to tell it to do, it's going to be very effective at refining things, more so than drafting from scratch. If I put those in order, I would say planning what to write, super helpful because it can pull out things, it can give you an outline, and then you can ask it, is there anything you think should go in there that we didn't talk about already? And it'll give you some more things to think about. So it's really an iterative process. So I think planning what to write, very good at. Refining existing emails, I would put that second. And then drafting from scratch, I would put third, which is ironic because that's the whole purpose of using one of these tools is to generate the information. I hope that answered everything, Varun. What are the limits to use of AI where you're charging clients for attorney work, but it's not being done by an attorney? The work is being done by an attorney. You are using the tool. So use your judgment on how long it took you to use that, and how long it took you to edit it. Let's see. Is there any way to recover the time spent training? You are using the tool to develop client output. So I mean, to me, that's billable. Where were the three use cases she just mentioned? That was in a question. How do you literally train the AI? Do you just keep telling it to do something or watch for something? Yes, we're going to do a demo in just a second, and you'll get to see it in progress. Do you have to register an account with a login for it to get to know you? No, there's a free version of ChatGPT. Actually, there's multiple free versions of ChatGPT. It keeps your stuff unless you use a temporary chat or tell it not to. So I'll go over that in just a second. So back to your use cases. Where are your pain points in all this? So let's see how it can help you. You're going to make your own roadmap and you're going to design your own solutions that match your way of practicing law and, more importantly, your flavor of ADHD. So, however that appears in your life, look for what you can solve for. So, it's going to look different for you than it does for me. You can reframe routine tasks, break up the monotony. You can ask ChatGPT for suggestions. So, how would you approach this? It literally is like having an intern or a virtual assistant right at your fingertips. So remember I talked about the making a difference process. So that was the name of my column. I've taken what took 2 hours. I take all my interview notes. So I ask a set of questions. So Varun asked, what's it more effective at? Editing something, coming up with something on its own or helping get us started. Now that I've trained it, I give it all of my interview notes and say, hey, these are the things I want to concentrate and highlight for this person. Please draft a 300-word article. And it'll give me a long article. Like if I didn't say 300 words, it'll give me like 500, 700 words. And I'll be like, oh, can you cut it down to 300? So I forgot that instruction. But that's a way that we can use the tool to help us is feed it the information we want that's most effective. Do you have a list of prompts that we use to train the AI? No, because it's an iterative process. So I'm going to come back to the list of prompts in a minute. So leave that one up there. Are there limits on the information you can share with it for confidentiality reasons? Yes, I'm going to talk about that as well, because hopefully when we're testing out the tool, we'll hit one of those and I'll go use the other tool. Why are AI tools good for legal research? Oh, any AI tools that are good for research other than LexisNexis. Okay, the GetGC.ai, brilliant, brilliant. I can't say enough good things about that tool. Let's just chat about lawyering with ADHD, and then I'll come back to some of these questions when we do the demo, because I think they're going to fit in with the places that we're going to show you how these tools work. So when ADHD hits, you have God, I struggle to get started on stuff. It's easier to procrastinate than it is to like look at a blank page for me. So drafting and rewriting totally helps with that. If you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't know where to start, you can say, "Hey, help me get started. I got these three things to do today. Where should I start?" That planning and organization. If you can't focus long enough to read something, super helpful to have it summarize something. What are the three things I need to know about this deposition? So whatever. We talked about this, losing track of tasks and deadlines. It can help you with time management prompts, and I'll show you a couple of these. If your mind goes blank at the keyboard or with a pen in your hand, it can help with writing, and it can help, drafting. All of these things. And like I said, these all require training the tool. And the more you train it, the more it's going to be like you. It's basically getting what's in your head out into the tool itself. So let's chat about time management. This is everybody's fun one. Task initiation and prioritization. So if you're struggling to start tasks, especially complex ones, or focusing on urgent but not necessarily important work, it can be helpful. Context switching, so client emails, jumping between cases, court deadlines, all that, it makes it hard to maintain focus. Time blindness, you're losing track of time, or I'm famous for underestimating time, how long it takes. I'll put a list together at the beginning of the week, and what I've done is like 3 weeks worth of work that I'm going to squeeze into 1 week. So I'm notorious about underestimating time that it takes to do things. Tracking billable hours, like I said, forgetting to log time in the moment and having to reconstruct it later. That's me. Like, here it is, April 30th, and now I got to go reconstruct what happened over the month. Terrible. Leads to lost revenue. We don't want that. Interruptions and distractions. If you've got emails and Slack messages and all the things coming in, and Messenger on your phone and WhatsApp, all the things, client calls, office disruptions, break focus, making it really difficult to return and do deep work. I tend to go to a coffee shop if I know I need to do some work, because all of that noise is going to help me focus on what's in front of me. Or I have to have it deathly quiet. There's like very little in between. So for me, I know what's going to work for me. So using ChatGPT to help with these things, to create structured task lists and workflows, good use. Automating scheduling, reminders, and deadlines, good use. Organizing case notes or research efficiently. So now we're moving up on that impact scale into the higher impact, maybe into the crucial side. We're going to need to pay more attention and train it better. So all of the things we've got here, so if you've got billable time and you have standardized descriptions, it can make a template for you, so that literally you keep a document open here, you cut and paste those descriptions into there. If you don't already have that, it can make templates for you. So particular client, you can keep those templates at the ready. It can help you with to-do lists and tasks associated with that, and then blocking out calendar time. You could say, "I've got this big complex brief I've got to write on ERISA issues for, client J. Can you break this task into smaller steps? And which one should I start first?" So these suggested phrases for you to put in there: summarize this case in plain English, or draft a plain English summary of this regulation that I can share with the C-suite. Any of those kind of things are really, really helpful to give it that context and purpose. Helpful with deadlines and reminders. I'll show you one of those in a minute. I don't want to run out of time to do all this. So that can really help with getting started. These are all in your materials. So I'm going to run through two more slides, three more slides, so I can get to the demo. These are all in your materials. So I don't want you to feel like you're being shortchanged, because we're going to just whiz through these next couple slides. You can say, "Help me set my priorities for today," or, "I got to prep for this meeting. Create a three bullet briefing for my client call." Really helps to pull that information out. It's actually really amazing at that. If you suffer from procrastination and perfectionism, this is a way to get started so that you can do the editing. Or if you've written something, it's really helpful for it to say, "Can I make this better? Can I make it more professional? Can I make it more persuasive? Can I make it shorter?" Like, all of those things. So these tools are really helpful for focus and productivity from that standpoint. Like I gave you that meal planning example, really helpful for things like that as well. And the impact of that is low, because it's just me that's going to be using it. If you've got an interview, like you're interviewing an intern, what are the top three questions I should ask this intern? Or you're interviewing for a job for something, what are the things that I need to know about this company? If you, like, I just had to turn in a speaker bio this morning, and it's for women in e-discovery, so I wanted it to be more focused on that aspect of it rather than the wellness and the career management books. So I asked it to rewrite my bio based on what it knows about me and based on my LinkedIn profile and based on my website. And it gave me a couple of examples. And so I edited those and sent it on its way. So these kind of productivity hacks, super helpful. So Calvin, I want to answer your question. Do you have a list of prompts that we can use to train the AI? There's not one list out there, and if you see lists from people, it's not going to be useful for you. So you kind of need to use it in the context of whatever problem you're trying to solve. So whatever that bottleneck is, whatever that you're trying to solve, that's what you want to use, not some random list of prompts. Okay. This prompt, is it good or bad? I need to decide whether to settle this case or take it to trial. Provide a decision-making framework based on potential outcomes and pros and cons. I'm going to give you a lawyer answer. It depends. I know. But it really depends on how well it knows you and your work. And then if you've developed a good relationship and it knows your context, like it knows you're a divorce lawyer, you might get a different framework than if you were a breach of contract or personal injury focused lawyer. So the more it knows you, the better this is going to be as a good prompt. Okay. So the training that you do is essential to make this go well. You can use it to help you with writing, whether it's client communication. You want it friendlier, you want it more understandable than legalese, like friendly or formal, plain English or legalese, or client updates. Do you want it to be clear or obtuse? Articles written like for a newsletter or, you know, these tools have improved so much over the last 18 months. I saw early on articles for a staffing firm that had been written by AI, and I'm like, I could not even pull out a outline reading that. So these tools have gotten so much better that I don't run into that as much. I helped two clients hire paralegals, and I was the one that got all the resumes and the cover letters. So I looked at them all. I was like, this is written by AI. I don't even know what you do. Like, be careful when you're using it to draft communications that is clear and you're looking at it. Any of those things that are writing's going to be seen by others that you definitely need to verify, look at, review. So good or bad prompts. If this is going in a client letter, draft a letter to a client explaining the next steps in their divorce case, including the mediation process and the expected timeline. So if you're a divorce lawyer and you've trained the tool, you're probably going to get a pretty good draft out of this. If you're new to it and you haven't given them context, probably going to get a mediocre draft out of it. So again, the answer is for all of these is it depends. So if I'm new to the family law area, it may be good to get me started. But and this is a huge but, you cannot forget that judgment and experience are necessary to vet the results. Okay. If I'm a new lawyer, I don't have that experience. I don't have that context. And so I might say, oh, this is a great start. So definitely requires you and your judgment. So these tools play well with others. I mentioned I like the speech to text, timers and prompts. Those are helpful as well. And I also use it with Zapier and Otter.ai. Okay, let's do the demo. I don't want to run out of time to do this because this is the fun part. I'm going to stop sharing these. I am going to open ChatGPT for you, and I'm going to share this. Okay, let's share GPT. Okay, here is the fun part. So I played around with this and I just went and I asked it a bunch of things. I asked it, go to the very top. Sorry, I got too many windows open and things are overlapping. Okay. So what I asked it is I have five tasks today. I have to draft a contract. I have to respond to three client emails. I got to prepare for a deposition. I got to review discovery documents and I got to write a motion. I have 6 billable hours available. prioritize these tasks and suggest a blocking, time blocking schedule. Pretty detailed prompt, right? So here's how it would prioritize these for me. And it gave me a schedule. You can see draft key arguments. I could never stick to the schedule, but okay, this was a good try. It may fit for you, but this is like too many things all in a row for me. I need to take a break and go outside and walk for a minute. Okay. Notes that the deposition is tomorrow, prepping takes absolute priority. So it's getting smarter, right? If the motion has a court deadline, move that one up in the process. If you finish something early, you know, expand the time required for something else. So I said for tomorrow, create a time blocking schedule because it gave me all these things to do, right? And remind me, I need a reminder that I got to spend 3 hours of deep work on a contract draft, okay? So then it gave me time block schedule with 3 hours for deep work. It did it at the beginning of the morning and it put in 10 minute breaks because it knows my power hours. It knows me, my power hours, 50 minutes on, 10 minutes off, okay? So then my little break, I can go down and get tea. I can go to the mailbox, whatever. So it knows me, so it can give me a little bit better information. Okay, then I said, I worked from 9 to 12 on 3 client matters, but I forgot to log my time. I responded to client emails, reviewed a contract, took a 15-minute call, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then it gave me billable hour breakdown. And it made this up based on what I told it. So you can decide, is this helpful or not? Does it know you well enough to do it? And then it says, hey, do you want to use your billing software format? So if you use Clio or TimeSlips or my case, do it whatever the prime is. So I said, hey, give me some Clio format, please. Put it in Clio format. Pretty cool, right? I thought this was really helpful. Let me go to a different. Okay. I needed to draft a byline for that daily journal article. So I said, okay, use what you know about me, draft me a byline. Here's my article. Then it gave me a byline. I was like, okay, I don't like that. So I iterated on it like 5 times, came up with something I liked, and then I edited it. Let me go to which part. Oh, when it makes suggestions, it knows a lot about me. It knows I'm an IP lawyer. It knows I'm in-house counsel. It knows I work with legal professionals and entrepreneurs. It knows that I worked at Sega and Intuit. So it gave me some suggestions. And I'm like, oh, this is option 4. That's the angle I'm going for with this particular article. So I asked it to expand it. Here's what it gave me. No, I don't like it. Can you make it into one sentence? So it gives you a lot of choice and it gives you a lot of suggestions. So you're going to play with it and just train it to do what's in your head and to do what you do for clients. Let me see. I want to do one more example out of here. We talked about all that. Okay. I need to, hold on just a second. I need to open one other document. Okay. What I want to do is open some cut and paste text. That's not it. Let's see. Give me 1 second. I'm going to have to stop the slides and end that show. Okay, I have some queries that I want to put in here for you so I can demonstrate what it actually does. I have a query that if I say, and I'm going to give it a vague prompt. Okay, so let's start a new. Oh, before I go into a specific prompt, I hit ChatGPT, it gives me a blank page. I want it to be a temporary chat where it doesn't keep the information. I'm going to just under file, select new temporary chat. So see how it just went black? Now I know it's not going to save it. Okay. It's not going to train their system. I'm going to say, write me a divorce settlement agreement. We're going to get a bunch of crap back. Okay. Because that's so vague. It's going to give me a basic template. There might be usable things in here, but it's really going to be vague. Okay. So if I want something more useful, let's see how far it went on that. gave me some division of property. Like, this is so vague as to, like, is this even helpful for me? Maybe. Excuse me. Maybe if I'm a new lawyer, like I needed this place to start and I didn't get a template from some other case, like that would be helpful. So let me ask it a little more specific. Draft a divorce settlement agreement for a couple divorcing in California. Okay, so now we've narrowed the universe to California. They have two minor children, they have a marital home, and they have retirement assets. One spouse is seeking primary custody, and the other one is going to have visitation rights. Include provisions for child support and asset division. So let's see what that turns out. It's hopefully going to be a little better, right? It's giving you the context here, California Family Code. Here we go. Marital settlement agreement. It's getting a little more detailed, right? It's putting in the child's names, all the good stuff that ends up in an MSA. You can see how these tools get better and better with more instruction, right? I gave it more context. So, we are like 4 minutes out. I can't even believe how fast this went. Let me stop sharing this tool, but you can see how much better it's getting, right? Okay, I'm going to see what it does at the very end because usually it'll start making suggestions. Do you want this downloadable as a Word or PDF? So it's making suggestions now. Okay, let's go back to the slides. Really good for automating tasks, really good for leveraging templates, really good for streamlining communications, but it lacks judgment, it lacks empathy, and it lacks the ability for strategic thinking. It can only do what it knows and what it's been trained to do. Okay, so, it can be good for life tasks, you know, generating ideas. Like my first use was whiskey tasting notes when I held a whiskey tasting event at my house. That was fun. Low impact on that scale, right? It wasn't anything that was going to be filed with court. So really good for those kind of uses. But if you're going to automate things and you're going to make templates, you have to use your judgment. Empathy. Like it can make an email friendlier, but it's not going to actually have the empathy as part of the process. Streamlining communications. I find that one extremely helpful because as an e-discovery lawyer, I put very little in email. And if I do, it's one word or one sentence replies. And people are like, why are you so terse in your emails? It's because I don't need it on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. So streamlining communications to be friendlier, super helpful for me. On the
Can
lax,
you?
it also hallucinates. Remember, I said this is a generative tool, it makes up stuff. So that's what the tool does. So the bias that's built into the training tools is going to come out in its answers. And then ethical concerns, it's going to use what it's trained on. So if you haven't turned off the button that says don't use this to train, so under the settings, there's a button that says use this to train. Don't have that button turned on. So cautionary notes, prompts, I think we covered that. And garbage in and garbage out. So remember that part. Training, it's an iterative process. You're going to have to experiment. And then you are going to have to use your judgment and you're going to have to verify the information and you're going to have to verify it again and verify it a third time. And you have to like take into account all the security, confidentiality, privacy issues, not include client names. Did you see any names in the stuff there? No, no client names, no client details. I use my own details because I want it to help me do my own stuff. So you will be in doing this. So key takeaways, it's a powerful tool. Especially for people with ADHD. So, you need to train it to take care of your type of ADHD and how it shows up in your life. You can think of ChatGPT as a silent partner. We've explored a lot of different uses. Just know that you are going to have to train it for you, and you are going to have to train it for how it acts. Okay. So, I want to give you the confidence to just go out and try these tools. Ping me. I had people after the last one I did send me a note and say, hey, it was terrible for summarizing case law. That's why I recommend the legal tool the further up you go to that crucial side, okay? But I want to give you the confidence to go out and try this yourself. I think we've answered a lot of the questions. And if I didn't get to your question, just ping me and I can answer it afterwards. I want to give you two things. I want to give you the opportunity for an audit. I usually do a three-session evaluation or audit of whatever pain points you have and how the tools can help you. Use that QR code on the right. On the left for that. The one on the right is really if you need help and you
Sonia?
want to schedule a meeting with me and you don't know what it is, that's the QR code to use for that. Okay. These are in your material, so don't freak out when I go to the next slide. This is my contact information. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'll help answer your questions. Connect with me on Linktree and you can, you know, look at my books, whatever else you need. My contact information is here for you.
Sonia?
I want to say thanks and then I'll stop. So I want to thank Thanks to Belinda and Susie and Ala and the Beverly Hills Bar Association for having me. And hopefully you have all the information you need to contact me. And I want to say thank you.